Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to another episode of Considering,
Considering some things.
Oh, can we just carry what we do off the microphone on to the
microphone? No, dude. If they were privy of what we were talking about seconds ago, I think they would have giggled. So we're definitely off on a tangent, for sure.
Good evening. I'm Mark Storr.
And you're not.
And he's Keith Cox, and now the news.
News.
We got to get one of those sound effects.
We do. We need more. We need sound effects. No, I'm saying more. We don't have any sound.
No, we have none. We have none.
We want to be the Wild Wacky Morning Show. With Mark and Keith. Wow. Wang.
You know, they just talk that way, and then they turn off, and they're drinking their coffee, and it's just silly.
And then it's right into the, that brisket ain't sitting right.
This episode of Considering Some Things is brought to you by
the 805 Musician Network. It is a Facebook group designed for musicians helping musicians. The 805 Musician Network. It's all about getting us through. Well, it's beyond that, but certainly helping getting us through these COVID times when no one's getting gigs. But I see some light at the end of the tunnel where it's starting to come a little bit here. But it's about musicians helping musicians. If you're looking for a project, if you want advice on how to market yourself better, if you just want to talk about what's a great set list, 805 Musician Network. It's the place to be. It's musicians helping musicians. No one else need apply. You have to be a musician, and you have to live on the 805 or in the 805.
What if a musician joins the network and you listen to them and they really suck, and then they ask you advice for how to market themselves?
Do you like that hasn't happened already? None of my musician friends are listening to this. They're like, that's going to happen. They're struggling musicians. I hate it. You know, the hardest thing about being a musician was when a musician wants you to critique them. And they're like, be honest. And I'm like, I know I can't be honest with you.
No. You're playing REM songs. How honest do you want me to be?
Right.
You know, I love REM. But
I do too. But, you know, you're kind of pitchy and you're horrible. And I'm not going to say that. Pitchy anyway, who else is sponsoring the show, Mark?
2020 has been a hard year for everybody. One of the things we know has happened in the past few months has been fires all over the state, particularly in Napa. And Napa has seen some horrific losses. One of the most horrific losses is the smoke taint damage to grapes that had not yet been harvested. And this includes a lot of the grapes used by our good friends at Nabu Wines. Nabu Wines is in Westlake Village, and they make absolutely beautiful wines. And they still make beautiful wines, and they're going to continue to make beautiful wines. But the 2020 Napa harvest is probably going to be on hold while they still have some grapes that they pulled before the fires. They'll be using those, of course. And also the grapes they use from Malibu, the Malibu Coast AVA, American Viticultural Area. Greg Barnett and Jeff Bailey making some great wines, great varietals and blends up in Westlake Village on Townsgate Road. They have a wonderful outdoor setup for social distancing and tasting. I went up there and I did some tasting. Now, look, I write about wine. I fuss about wine. I've got a certified sommelier certificate. My wife's palate is still better than mine. But the fact is, I like wine. I fuss about wine. I talk about wine. I tell Keith why he shouldn't drink that wine, why he should drink that wine. He doesn't listen to me, but it's okay.
It works really well. It does. Oh, yeah.
But Nabu does some great wine, and I'm really pleased that they're part of our show. And you should check them out at NabuWines.com. Type in Nabu15 for a 15% discount for wines locally delivered here in the Ventura County area, and sometimes in the Los Angeles County area, and up and even into Santa Clarita and into the desert. So do you count your eggs or your chickens? Count your chickens.
I'm typing in Nabu the 15. So, I just got my discount.
There you go.
All right.
Great wines. Try them, NabuWines.com. Nabu, N-A-B-U, wines.com.
Woo-hoo.
All right.
So, before we start our subject, which we are going to talk about California and why everybody's leaving and things of that nature, we would be remiss to not at least bring up my guitar hero. Has just passed away. Eddie Van Halen. And
I don't know if he wasn't everybody's guitar hero.
I think you're absolutely right. And everybody, he had everybody, Matt, just mass respect for the guy. And, you know, he was certainly a genius of his time. And, you know, I remember going to see him in the Coliseum. Yep. And, oh, my God, just, you know, we were all just our mouths gaping watching him do that hammer thing, which was such a new technique. And you're like, oh, my God, look at this guy. He's a god.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, very, very sad to hear about his loss. We're losing so many great musicians, and it's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking.
Living in this time, David Bowie.
Everything has gone downhill since David Bowie died.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everything.
I'm blaming 2020 anyway, because that horrific year.
Yeah, this is a bad year. And listen, it's funny. I go, I walk a lot with my dog, and when I'm alone in the mornings, I put on the earbuds, and I'd say half the time, 5 times out of 10, I'm listening to Van Halen. I was a particular fan of the work they did when Sammy Hagar was part of the band. I know that's not everybody's taste, and that's fine. I get it. I totally get it.
Oh, but there's two camps, definitely.
There are.
People are, you know, Van Hagar all the way.
But and I just like the sound. I think the band sounded incredible, and there are songs. I love the song Right Now, and I love the song Dreams, and that whole 5150 album, Summer Nights, I think I could listen to, well, every summer night. And
and now I'm a Dave Lee Roth kind of Van Halen guy. And I remember when Fair Warning came out, which was not even their greatest album, but me and Phil DeLeo, hey Phil, if you ever listen to the show, anyway, I was 16 and we took a trip up to Tahoe and stayed the week out there, and we brought a bunch of tapes, and one of them was the brand new Van Halen, you know, Fair Warning, and man, we just wore that tape out. Wore it out. And it still, in my opinion, wasn't as good as Van Halen 1. That was just boof. And of course, one of my favorites was Women and Children First. And
a great album.
It was
they were all great. I don't think they turned out a stinker. I can't think of one of their albums where I went, man, that one's not good. They were all good. And those were in the days when bands were bands, right? They played what they wanted to play, and the record company said, yeah, record that. Go ahead. That was. And so we've lost a legend. There's no two ways about it. His death is monumental in our world. 65 years old, died of the evil cancer. And
throat cancer. So,
So we raise a glass. We raise a glass.
And what are you drinking, Mark?
I am on the Pinot Noir tonight, my friend. I'm on. Now, I buy all kinds of wine, but... You know, look, I'm not a wealthy man, and so Pinot Noir tends to be more expensive, so I don't buy the expensive stuff. And the cheap stuff that I buy at times, I really like. It's called Poppy, P-O-P-P-Y. It is a Monterey County blend of grapes from different vineyards, but it's all Pinot Noir, and I love it. It's delicious.
Well, just I thought, you know, Pinot Noir was a Central Coast thing.
Very much so. There's no question.
Santa Rita Hills right here.
Santa Rita Hills.
Yeah.
And one of our friends, Chris Curran, one day when my wife gets brave enough, and I don't think she will, but she'll come on the show and she'll talk about the time that she and Chris Curran from Sea Smoke Winery. Now, she she does her own wines now, but with her husband, Bruno. But she made wines, I was the host for a charity event at the Boys and Girls Club in Westlake Village. And it was a pretty snooty event, and people were not opening their wallets. It was kind of frustrating. And because that's the whole point, was charity, right? And so Chris Kern was getting upset because she brought some of these great, great wines, and she took my wife by the hand. They went out to the parking lot, and they got smashed by the trunk.
Oh, my God. That is great.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes. Yes. And a great winery. By the way, I picked up, there's a small winery, and I don't know how long they're going to be there, but it's a place called Shoestring Wine.
Oh, I know Shoestring, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I used to...
Buellton.
Yeah, and the owner was Rose Witha. She passed away
a
few years ago. Yeah, it was really tough, but I believe her son has taken it over, and he's been running with it. And let me tell you something. They phenomenal wines. They do those bold reds, the Syrahs and things of that nature. They're just sublime. And I just picked up a case of their 2008 Syrah, and 2008, and just the deep luscious flavors. Oh my God, Mark, you would weep.
I'd really like to good. Yeah, I'd like to weep a little bit more.
Well, I'll get you some. Well, when you show up here, we'll have some 2008 and their 2009 Syrah.
Both we're coming up. Amazing.
Yeah,
are coming up.
Yep, good stuff. Let me tell you something.
I'm going to tell you what.
Now, let's get on to some things here, Mark.
Things to cover.
I think we've talked about this before, that you are very short for California, if I'm not correct. We've talked about it, right? And you're going to Washington.
Leaving the state.
You're leaving the state. You are leaving. And Washington State is where you decided to go.
Yeah.
How long have you been planning?
Oh, man. That's an interesting question, man. Can I give you the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Drinking. What are you drinking, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Me. Well, I'm right into the Jameson right now. I'm drinking some Irish whiskey is what I've decided. I've got my wife bought me those cool little makes the ball ice cubes, you know, the single rock. And I love the little ball. So I've got a big ball in my
big balls.
Yes, I do. It's really good. So I'm drinking the Irish whiskey is good, Jamie.
Irish whiskey. You know, I do like Jameson. I have a bottle of Jameson's in my kit here.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan. That is good stuff. You put it with ice. You do it with ice.
Sometimes I'll do it neat, but I just like it with the ice. And, you know, the funny thing is, Irish whiskey, you can definitely do neat. It's just, you know, that triple distillation. It's the smoothest. But it's just so it's one of the easiest drinking whiskey you can ever have.
That's why the Irish are all drunk.
That's great. It's great. I put it in my Cheerios.
My friend Keith Roberts, who I call him my friend sort of on the cursory. Again, he's been on the show. I want to have him back. He's so great. They're actually off to Ketchum, Idaho to play a socially distanced concert coming up.
Right on.
The Young Dubliners. So Ketchum and Ketchum.
Yep.
He told me his routine, if you listen to the episode. And he says every night I finish up what I'm doing, and then I'll open a bottle of the Jamesons. No. And I'll have a dram of Jameson's, and I'll smoke a pipe of Captain Black's cherry tobacco. And
you know, that is one of the things I've done the cigar thing. Never done a pipe in my life. Always wanted to.
Yeah, I'm hiccuping. Yeah, me too. I feel the same way. I would like to. I do like a cigar, but I don't like them often. I don't like to smoke much because of the way that makes me feel.
Well, same with me. Same with me. I'm a social smoker.
Yeah, very much.
I attended a party not that long ago, and then we had cigars. I'm like, okay.
Well, they're a good time. We had cigars on my birthday at your house.
That's true. See, that's all socially. Have a cigar, but it's not definitely one of those things. You know, I'm addicted to one way or another.
No,
but I've always wanted to try a pipe, especially when you say like cherry tobacco. It's just I remember my grandfather used to smoke a cigar, a pipe.
A pipe.
And he would have all those. He would have the maple tobaccos and all that stuff. And it really smelled good in his house. Really smelled good. I love the smell of pipe tobacco.
That's really the whole point. It's yummy. When people ask, you know, why do you smoke a cigar? Because it tastes good. It's yummy. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
One of those things. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, okay. Yeah, you asked me why I'm...
I know. I changed my mind. I'm not interested now. I'm going to move on to something else.
Please
I'm just joking. Well, this segues into our subject is we're talking about what's going on with California and, you know, the last few years and even longer. You know, California has been hemorrhaging people. You know, I've got stats, but I am interested in when you decided to leave and why you decided where you're going. That's just, I'm curious.
And those are both very interesting points, at least to me, and hopefully to our listeners.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I've lived in California for 45 years. I'm 55 years old. Moved here when I was 10. And so this is truly home. I married a California girl. We produced a California girl. And the people, everyone I love here, including you, including all of my friends, are California peeps.
Yep.
So there's only so much bad I'm willing to say about it. And I actually have a theory about this that we'll go into hopefully at some point. But what happened, ever since I moved here, I have not been abundantly happy with the place. This particularly probably goes back to in 1975, we arrived in California. In 1977, 2 years later, my parents separated. And my mom left California, and my middle brother, Jerry, and myself and mom drove across the country. And the purpose was we were going to resettle probably along the East Coast, probably close to my aunt and uncle, who, by the way, were related to my father, not my mother, but my mom was good friends with them and my dad was fine with it. And I panicked and freaked out. I was 12 years old and my parents were coming apart and I didn't want to leave my friends. And so, you know, it was really one of those bizarre moments. And then I don't know if you're going to remember this, my man, but flash forward 6 years to when my parents actually did divorce. They got back together that first time and then they did divorce. I graduated high school with you and the next morning I left and I was off to Philadelphia, where my dad lived at that point. And here I am in Philly. Through the summer, I end up getting mononucleosis and getting pretty sick.
I remember that.
And my dad knew things were kind of falling apart for me there. And I'll never forget this because I can still remember the kitchen. He had a townhouse in Acton, Massachusetts. And I liked Massachusetts a lot. I really did. But I didn't know a freaking soul.
Right.
I met one kid. I was 18. Trace was 15. And he liked hockey. So we played hockey outside because I was getting a little bit better. And but my dad said to me, why don't you pick up the phone? These are back in the days, folks, when picking up the phone and calling to California from Massachusetts meant that dad was going to be paying a phone bill. And
expensive.
It was expensive. So he said, why don't you call your friends? And so I got on the phone with you and Mike Sand, if you'll recall. That phone call cemented for me, as much as I loved Massachusetts and as a place I wanted to stay there, I needed my friends. I needed you. At the time I needed Mike. I needed my pal Kim. I needed these people that I knew. And I came back and ostensibly the idea was I was going to come back for a short time, recuperate, and then go back to the East Coast. I never did. We ended up at Pierce College together and, you know, the rest of the story. So I have been trying to get out of California since I got here. that moment didn't arrive and I have led a happy, happy life. I loved my career. I love my friends. I've loved, you know, I fell in love with Sue here. I fell in love with just the life that we had. And I can't knock it. Look, this was a great place. We honeymooned up north. I ended up falling in love with the Pacific Northwest. And that's where that started.
There you go. No, there you go. And, you know, and for me, I'm leaving for really one reason, and that is when I retire, it is stupid to stay here.
It is, isn't it?
It's well, yeah. I mean, fiscally, it's just, you know, when you're living on a fixed income and you start looking at all the horrific taxes and just everything costs, it's all these little things that just chip away and horrible.
Yep. So, I think that's where my theory comes in. You know, it's funny. Someone said to me not too long ago, well, are you leaving because of the politics? I said, well, if I were leaving because of the politics, I wouldn't be moving to Washington.
That's right. But there are. But see, that's the interesting thing about this mass exodus is the bottom line. California is not affordable.
No.
That's the problem. And it's whether it's liberal or conservative,
doesn't matter.
You can't afford it. You can't afford it.
Yeah.
And that's really where the big hit is there. Yeah. That no one's talking about. So, I mean, there are liberal bastions, like I said, you know, like you said, Washington, that people can go to.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I was reading this California Association of Realtors. They're between 2010, 2017, negative domestic migration to the state increased annually.
Seriously?
Yes, annually. And the median, and now also in the same period, the median cost of a home in California doubled.
Yep.
And of course, we're talking San Francisco Bay Area.
Yep.
Tripled. Tripled.
Yep. Triple.
32 of households in California can afford to buy a median priced home, which is around, by the way, median
32%?
30%. Yeah, correct. 32%. Right. So the median priced home is around 600,000.
Yep. There you go.
Compared to 2012, we were at around 52%.
Jeez.
So now we go to San Francisco and San Mateo, about 12 or 13% of the residents can actually afford to buy median priced homes there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And absolutely. By the way, we said California median 600,000. San Francisco median priced home is about $1.5 million.
That's a median price.
And it's a median price home in San Francisco.
See, and that's what I, that's what I'm on about.
Like, yeah. It's, well, we've got a high homeless rate everywhere. I mean, we are the largest homeless problem here.
Absolutely. If you're going to be homeless, why not be homeless in California?
Yeah, exactly. To buy a medium priced house requires an income of about $100,000.
Yep.
You go to Arizona, by the way, medium priced home is you need about $50,000 to $60,000.
That's it.
That's it. I mean, that's
a year, $50,000 to $60,000 a year.
Correct. Correct. To be able to buy a home out there. Amazing. So, yeah, you start looking at, you know, then the taxes. California has the second highest gas tax at 61 cents.
Yep.
You know, Texas, 20 cents gas tax. Arizona, 19 cents. We're 61. I mean, it's insane, the taxing. You go, so you're going to California, just had someone, so they have a Prius, and their registration was due about $290. This was not a new Prius. You go to Washington State, it's about $60.
That's right. Yeah, when we buy a car, it'll be up there.
Yeah.
Well, and these are numbers that are important because, see, that's the thing. And this is why I hate this conversation with the average Joe, particularly in the career that I'm in, which is education, because, you know, it's a very political career. And so people, you tend to lean conservative. So you're living. I said, well, again, if I were moving because of politics, I would not be moving to Washington, which is not exactly a bastion of conservatism. It's a cost of living issue for us. I live in a nice place in Ventura County called Camarillo. We've talked about it before on the show. I have a small house. It's about 1,400. You've been here, about 1,400 square feet, I'm thinking. Yeah. Is that about right?
Yeah.
And it's a rental. I rent this house. Now, across the street, our neighbor sold his house just now, last week. It just went up sold. Now it was renovated. It's nice. He's got a beautiful kitchen in there. It's beautiful. Again, about 14 or 1500 square feet. And he sold it for $680,000.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I don't understand that. I'm going to move to a town. I'm not going to give all of it away, but we'll be on the Puget Sound side of things. And we're looking at housing prices between $300,000 and $400,000. And we're looking at relatively same size house. Now, you know, not a huge place. We don't want a large house. We're even looking at condos and townhouses. But you know, a smallish house with two or three good bedrooms, two or three baths, that we can, you know, just sort of spend our semi-retired years. And we can do that up there. We can't do that down here.
Right. You can't. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, there is a lot of people who just refuse to leave California, but they'll leave, you know, the hubs, San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles, where they just are just priced out. And they'll go to the affordable Bakersfield.
Sure. Central Valley. Yeah.
So full disclosure, I just sold my house that I own in Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. Now, I've owned that thing for about 15 years, and talk about a monkey. You know, I bought it when the bubble burst, literally. I bought it and everything just tanked. what blew me away is how many offers I had on this house. It was insane.
Yep.
I sold it in 15 days.
Wow.
Yeah. Cash deal, 15 days.
Wow.
They paid cash for it.
Holy Toledo.
Yeah. And
That's amazing.
Bidding war on it. It was hilarious. I had over 20 some odd offers on this place. And that's because people are, you know, it's cheap. You know, I sold for $240,000, which is a fraction of when you're coming from San Francisco or L.A. or Santa Barbara or something like that. It's a fraction. That's cheap. And most people are doing that. And with, I think, speculation that, you know, it'll become $600,000 one day. I think that's it. I think we're, you know...
We're in a bubble. We have to be. I don't think it's ever going to, you know, go really low. But I mean, look, you can't sustain these prices, and primarily you can't sustain them because the jobs with the pandemic, the economy's lagging behind it. We're closing industries, for God's sake. I mean, if you're an airline pilot used to making, you know, six-figure salary, and, you know, having a decent life, and probably, you know, if you're a Southern California resident flying out of one of the many airports here, from Long Beach to Los Angeles to Burbank to Ontario to any of those places, your job is largely over. Right. You've got nothing, and you're either being laid off, or especially if you're young, you know, if you're below the age of 50, you're probably going to be laid off, or if you're not laid off, you're going to be furloughed for a time.
Oh yeah,
there's no way to sustain the kind of damage that's being done right now, and they have to know that up in Sacramento, but I'm not a prognosticator. Who the heck knows? The bottom line is it isn't a political thing. I cannot retire from teaching, which I've done for 30 years and I'm tired of, and stay in a place that rent would be, you know, $3,000 a month.
When you look at, depending on what you make, and I'm not going to get into it, I kind of did the math here a little bit talking mm-hmm. to a retirement pro, mm-hmm. and who is really the one who said, you know, if you want to optimize your money, get out of California.
Get out.
And, you know, he kind of showed me that I would be basically, California would cost me any other places. He goes, you go to Nevada and you're saving about $20,000 a year. You know, to me, that's not chump change. That's serious money. It's the nickel and dime stuff that you do not think about. Yeah. Like we said, the the DMV costs, we're one of the highest of property. Well, actually, our property taxes aren't that bad. It's everything else. Because, you know, your personal income tax is close to 10% or whatever. Gas is horrific, like we said, and then it's just everything. It's tax.
Well, state income tax is among the highest in the nation. In Washington, there is no state income tax.
Right.
And that equals. I actually can tell you how much that equals on my pension. My pension will be, you know, it's going to be somewhere north of $4,000 a month after taxes, just a little tiny bit north of $4,000 a month, right? The taxes, if I were to stay in California, would put me well under $4,000 a month.
Right.
But by going to Washington, I'm going to be over that. And so it really is that simple. And I long ago, I never bought it because I didn't grow up here. But you're a Californian. Well, wait, were you born in California?
No.
You were not.
I was born in Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City, Missouri, my wife's favorite town.
What's favorite town?
She calls it misery.
No, everybody calls it misery. There's a reason for that. You know, interestingly enough, going back there and way, I ride Indian motorcycle, and there's an Indian rally that would happen in just south of Branson.
Oh.
And it's called Indian Point. It's a resort. They got these Finger Lakes out there. It's gorgeous, just beautiful. So you're right on the border of Missouri and Arkansas. So, you know, you're in those, they just the gorgeous mountains up there and everything.
I'm grabbing a bottle of wine. Keep telling the story.
I'm gonna keep telling the story. Right. But it is beautiful because you are in some gorgeous scenic stuff when you get into those big giant granite mountains or whatever like that. So the Ozarks is where you're starting. And stunning, and of course extremely affordable. So my brother lives now, he's Kansas City, so he's up.
Oh, I didn't realize he was there.
Yeah, he's so that's kind of a northwest kind of thing. I would go to visit in the furthest south point. Like I said, you're right on the border.
Right.
But some beautiful country and affordable. Like I said, we were looking at buying a condo for $160,000 on the lake.
$160,000,
you know, and it's on this giant lake and it's secluded. I'm like, oh well, my God, it would be just that's nothing.
No, it's perfect. And not only that, but as Sue pointed out, she said she had to go there for business not too long ago. And she flew out to Kansas City. And what she didn't like Kansas City, but she liked two things. She liked the barbecue. Then the other thing she liked was that she was driving through going to where she needed to be. And she said the houses were absolutely gorgeous. And they had huge pieces of property. They were probably 2,000-4,000 square foot homes. And you could buy them for about $250,000.
There was, Tina and I looked at Richmond, which was kind of, we drove through it. Richmond, Missouri is interesting, but we were looking at a huge house. It was like 3,500 square feet on 7 acres of land and about $270,000.
See, we could split that and all live there together.
There we go. You could.
I'm totally down for that.
We got us a compound.
We got a compound.
You stay away. You government Keith, people, stay
Keith,
away.
Keith provides the firearms. I provide the booze.
That's right. And we do both at the same time.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said. See that? And in real life, okay, real life isn't about who gets elected. Real life is what's my daily choices? And all you young people listening.
Kids with your hair and your clothes.
That was brilliant. All those young people, I keep, you know, because they want to be politically active. And my response to that is why? It doesn't matter. What matters is your day-to-day living. What matters is the life that you want to live. Can you live it? And the answer under any candidate is yes. The question is, what do you want out of life? And unfortunately for me, weather has never been the allure. Of course, it's beautiful here most of the time. Not always. It gets very brutally hot in Southern California, and it's something that most people don't talk about. And I mean, 110 degrees or 108 degrees on Labor Day here. It was 108 degrees, and it got up to about, I don't know, 50 or 60% humidity. No, that wasn't South Carolina, 95% humidity. But listen, at 108, if it's above 30% humidity, you're not doing much of anything.
Well, that's true. Now, where I live, which is just a few hours north of you, an hour and a half or whatever.
Right, yeah.
The temperatures, they can get up to the hundreds, and they have recently. And you know, they will, but
mostly not.
Week. Yeah, you might get it a few days and everything like that. And the funniest thing is October is like, you know, end of September, October is our summer here.
Well, that's right. Tina said that. Your wife, Tina Cox, Keith's wife, said that. And it's true. I've thought that forever. You don't have – I love people on social media will post, oh, autumn's here, and it's pumpkin spice season. I'm going, no, it's actually iced tea season.
It's hot. Pumpkin. No, you're making
degrees.
You set it outside. You got pumpkin pie because it's hot.
The worst fires in California do not happen in June and July.
Right.
You know, they happen in late August, September, October, and November. That's
at the same time we get our earthquakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shake and bake, baby.
It's true. It is shake and bake.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but going back to that, because the temperature stuff is certainly we get it. But in general, where I live, my average temperature is 65 out here. So it's like the most moderate. Is most of the houses out here where I live, Santa Maria, they don't have air conditioning.
Sure, they don't need them.
But now, you know, summertime, you know, it's nice having it. You know, and I've got the portables because, you know, I've got a 2-story, and you know,
it gets hot upstairs.
But my little portable, hey, it fixes it just right.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, there's again, I'm not going to slam California because the state itself, I love.
It's beautiful.
It's not.
It's incredible.
It wasn't so stupid expensive here.
Yeah.
Only reason. Now, it's funny. I'm reading, going back to my article I was reading, it's millennials who are running.
Is that right?
Like, oh, yeah, they can't afford it here. It's wow. they're like, oh, this is stupid. I can't afford it. And so they're going, and again, there's tons of other, you know, areas you can move. You do have choices. Not every cheap place is not a red state. Like I said, Washington, where you're going.
Yep.
And even a red state has, you know, Austin, Texas. That's there you go.
Fairly so, blue pocket. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the blue little pocket. And people, trust me, in droves are running there. California is hemorrhaging people. And if I was a government at all, involved in government at all, I would worry. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, they just say, yeah, so what? We lost, you know, 100,000, but, you know, we gained it back. And because people do move here. Sure. What's happening is the disparity. We're mostly losing middle class people.
Yep.
So the rich people are
mostly gaining poor people.
Well, rich, that's it. We are going to be at California is truly going to become a two caste system where it's rich or poor.
Yeah, no question.
Middle class are getting the hell out. And you're going to have to be either really rich or poor to live here. And that's sad. That is some third world stuff right there, in my opinion.
It is. And that's what happens when you have a state that costs this much.
Yeah.
And that's my point is it's no good railing at, you know, whatever politician. I suppose there's politicians out there probably on both sides of the aisle that would make some changes if they could. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is we are a state of 40 million people. We have 12% of the population of the United States.
We're under 40 million.
Just under now. That's good. We're finally under it.
Yeah, we're under last couple of years. It brought us under 40 million.
Well, it's going to continue. And see, the big names, Joe Rogan and a conservative journalist, Ben Shapiro, regardless of what you think of his politics, he has a fairly large company called the, what's that called? The Daily Wire. The Daily Wire is moving to Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rogan left. Joe Rogan is a man of the left, and if you listen to his show, you know that. And he left for Austin, Texas. You're losing the biggest one, who is a huge employer. Elon Musk is leaving California.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, but
I mean, let's go back to just business alone. See, this is my thing, and I'm not even talking liberal conservative politics, but the fact matter of fact, 2018-19, last couple of years, California has lost 765 commercial facilities.
Whoa.
And that's not even counting Charles Schwab. They just announced to leave. They're leaving San Francisco next year.
Yeah.
Or the 13,000 other estimated businesses between 2009, 2016 were hemorrhaging businesses. So now it's going to be pretty much left in California is agriculture.
Yep.
Which we have a booming agriculture, and then high tech. That's going to be out. Everybody else is like, we're out.
But that's the problem, right? Because agriculture requires a number of tiers of careers. You can make some money in agriculture, but you can also end up going broke in agriculture. And big tech is the same. You can be very wealthy. And you could get a job, you know, working for Google or working for Apple. But how are you going to buy a house? You know, I mean, I got a job, came across my transom the other day because I've done journalism and I've done broadcast journalism. And KCBS in San Francisco was hiring a reporter. And now most reporter jobs, even for on-air reporter jobs, do not pay terribly well. This one paid $72,000 a year. To start. And that's, you know, when you think about it, it's like, wow, 72 grand a year to start as a reporter on air is pretty good. Except you have to live in San Francisco. And as you pointed out, the median house price is $1.5 million.
Yeah. I used to work with a lot of, in my safety business, I worked with a lot of Caltrans people.
Yeah.
And up in the San Jose, San Francisco area. And I'm like going,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
I'm just curious how you guys could afford this place.
Yeah.
I never asked, but I was wondering. I mean, although I think California supervisors make California Caltrans supervisors actually make good money, but I'm like, how do you afford to live here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What did they say? What was their answer?
I never asked because I just thought it was like
rude.
one supervisor I knew is because he literally is living in his house his parents raised him in.
Mm.
And they bought when it was cheap. They passed away. He owns the house.
There you go.
And there you go. And now it's worth, and it's paid off. Talk about love and life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he says, yeah, I just live in this house. And this tiny little, it's not a giant house or anything, but it's worth 10 times more than they paid for it.
Right. That's it.
So,
My wife, in 2017, my wife was very gracious to me, and I'm a big baseball nut. We haven't talked much about baseball because you're not a big baseball nut, but I'm a big baseball nut. The Pittsburgh Pirates, my team, we're going to be playing in the San Francisco. So we flew. She flew us up there for the day, and then we flew back that night. We took Uber on the way back from the ballpark, and the Pirates won 6-5. Thank you very much. the Uber driver was a very nice Asian gentleman, probably from China. I think he was from China. He pointed out his parents had emigrated here. They bought a house in San Francisco. He now lived in that house. He was retired. I forget what his career was. He would have a decent career, but he basically lived in his parents' house, which was, you know, a relatively small house in the city of San Francisco. Nice place, but it was worth nearly $2 million. So he drove Uber because he could.
Right. Oh, yeah. There you go. And we see a lot of that. We see a lot of people, like, how we survive is we cram everybody in our house. We get all our family. And it's got to, you know, it's horrific, but hey, you improvise, adapt, and overcome. I'm not getting to bash that because you got to do what you got to do to survive out
survive,
here.
Survive, yeah.
So, sure. Yeah, bring everybody in. Yeah, even my wife and I thought about renting rooms here because, you know, why not?
You got room,
But if we keep on hemorrhaging businesses, that's what worries me more than anything else, because that's your tax base right there.
Right.
Yep. And so that just means they leave, then they got to find new people to tax, new things to pay, you know, and it's just
well,
be...
raising taxes, right? The governor has already put across, he wants to raise taxes again because of the pandemic, because he was foolish enough, and this is just, now I've let the cat out of the bag. Look, he closed down the state, and he's closed down businesses, and the result is revenue's not coming to the state, so now he's looking to raise everybody's taxes. Like, well, whose taxes are you going to raise there, Gov? Because a lot of people are going to be on the unemployment that you now have to pay them.
Well, I guess it's going to be done. You know, they've been trying to get rid of Prop 13 forever, and one day they're going to sneakily do it, and that's going to screw us all. Let's do another gas tax. All you got to do is just say it's for the schools and it's for the police department, fire department, and everybody goes, "Oh, I'll vote yes for it."
Well, they're now defunding the police. Don't forget.
Well, okay, except fire department and schools.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, that's kind of what they do, and everybody just like sheepishly, "Okay, I'll go for it." And I'm like, "Oh,
It is unfortunate that you know, we live in a place that is as beautiful as it is. As I speak to you now, I'm sitting on a patio. The sun is going down. I'm looking at palm trees. I'm looking at the Conejo Mountain. It's a lovely night, and it really is, folks. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a beautiful place, but you pay. It's one thing to say, "Wow, this is an expensive hotel," but hey, it's two nights, and I'm really excited. I'm going to spend the money because this is beautiful. Look at this. It's another thing to say, "Hey, it's going to cost us a bloody fortune, and we're going to go broke living here. We're going to live on top ramen and hot dogs, but you know what? It's pretty."
Right.
Now, I'm sorry, you just can't do that. And I get asked that a lot about the weather, you know, because my wife's a California girl and I've lived here most of my life. Am I going to adjust to the weather? The answer is I don't know. I assume I'm going to adjust to it. When I was a little boy, I lived in the weather. It's different than when you're an adult. I get that.
Right.
And I know that there'll be some special challenges learning to drive in the snow and ice. Right, you know, right. I understand that. But that's life.
But now you have Instacart and Uber Eats.
Yeah.
You don't have to leave
the house.
You're like, "I'm going to stay here and just kind of, I'm going to order a burger and deliver it to me." And I love Instacart. Thank you. Here's the one thing I got to thank the COVID about: Instacart. I don't like shopping.
Oh, you're not. You don't like to go.
I hate shopping.
I love it.
My wife doesn't let me. She'll do it. She takes care. I love her to tears because she handles stuff. She knows I do not like it. I'll do anything else. You know, you want me to paint the house and I hate paint. I'll paint if I don't have to shop. I hate it. But I don't mind going on Instacart and just like, "I need this. Boom. And that's
and they deliver it.
And they deliver it. And I'm like, "Thank you." Now, there's some risk to that, especially when you want salad and lettuce and stuff, because you'll get some idiot who's like me, who's not paying attention to the fact that the salad's all brown.
Right.
And then you're like, no, I've had to actually run back to the store and say, "No, this is brown."
Yeah.
But for the most part, if it's stuff that you don't, it's easy stuff that you're buying
If you're buying food in a box, you can use Instacart.
You're in good shape, man.
No, you know,
so going back to the, again, California and why I'm worried about it now. So as much as I want to live here, when I retire, I have to leave. Mm. I don't even really necessarily want to leave because I love it here. All my friends are here. I've just established. I even love Santa Maria. I love where I live. Mm-hmm. I love the wineries that are right there. I just think it's a great little town. I love it here. But when I retire, staying here is absolutely asinine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to get worse. That's the sad thing. I'm just reading here. Nestle USA moved from Glendale to Washington.
Really?
No. To Roslyn, Virginia.
Virginia. Wow.
That's 1,200 jobs right there. 1,200 jobs.
In Nestle, I didn't realize Nestle was based here. Wow. Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, yeah, you've got lots of companies doing that now.
$26 billion a year food conglomerate
We
lost because they're like, yeah, you're overtaxing us, overregulating us.
Yeah. Yep.
And I owned a small business. I totally feel that. Businesses, you think these guys had it bad. I don't know how small business survives because California takes a big bite out of everything we make. I mean, big bite. And it was so funny thinking, oh, you're Mr. Business Owner. I'm barely struggling by.
Well, that's true of every small business owner I know, is that they're paying a fortune in taxes and they're paying for regulatory fees and they're, you know, all the stuff they're having to do just to kind of get by. It doesn't add up. There are other places. And if you're willing to leave the West Coast, particularly, I actually have tried to pry my family out of the West Coast and say, let's head to Nashville. Let's head to, let's head to Nevada. Let's head to Nevada's too hot for me in the summertime. I'd have to snowbird. But
And when you're done, because I've been doing my research.
Yeah.
So like when you retire, where do you move? Now, if you're really looking at optimizing, there are 9 states.
Okay.
That have no income taxes. You're going to one of them.
Yep.
Alaska, Florida, Nevada, New Hampshire, South Dakota, which I'm interested in.
Yes.
And Nevada, by the way. Yep. Tennessee, Texas, Washington, Wyoming.
There you go.
So there's the 9 states that do not have an income tax. Now, what about retirees? There are actually 7 states that do not tax individual income, retirement or otherwise. So this is where I start paying attention. Because I'm thinking retirement, where do I go? And again, once again, Alaska, that's just a big no for me.
Yeah.
Florida is a maybe. Nevada is a maybe. South Dakota, just because I rode my motorcycle out there and the Black Hills out there are just stunning.
Yes.
It's a beautiful state. Now, granted, I didn't spend winter there, so I'll change my mind probably, but stunning. Texas, Washington, Wyoming.
Yep.
So those are all, those 7 states will not tax individual income.
Yep.
Retirement or otherwise. Yep. Now, there are 2 other states, New Hampshire and Tennessee. They will impose income taxes only on dividends and interest.
Okay.
So that's kind of nice. But then I started looking at the overall cheapest places to retire. Now, when I think retiring, I'm thinking maybe I want to buy a nice little place, but really what's Medicare going to cost me?
Right.
Right. And what is the cost of living in this state? So I've got the top 10 if you're interested.
Go. Yeah.
Number 10, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Okay. Now, there's a common theme in all of these, and I want you to tell me what it is when I'm done with this.
Okay.
So Tennessee, they have Nashville, Music City. The median cost of a home in that state is
$158,000.
Mm. What did I tell you California was?
$600,000.
Now, their monthly cost of a Medicare plan is about $45.
Mm-hmm.
So the cost of living, the average household income, is $46,000.
Jeez, that's great.
That's Tennessee. Yeah. I have a buddy, an ex-employee who moved there. He's in love with it. He'll never leave. He loves it.
Yep.
Number 9, Alabama. Sweet Home, Alabama.
Sweet Home, Alabama.
I've never been there, but the median cost of a home there, now we go down to $137,000.
My
Medicare plan, $51.
My sister-in-law and her family, who I adore, are from Alabama, Birmingham. So, yeah, absolutely.
All right. I think on my bus ride home to the Marines, I sold my airline ticket and I
took the bus.
Took a bus, which was the best freaking ride. That's another story. I'll tell you stories. Anyway, the average household income per year, about $45,000 to survive there.
Okay.
Number eight, Missouri. My brother living there. So we talked about this earlier. Yep. Median cost of a home there is about $151,000. So in between Alabama and Tennessee, Alabama at 158. Tennessee at 158. Alabama at 137. Okay. So a little higher in Missouri, but Medicare is about $43, and the cost of living there averaged about $46,000. So it's really close to Tennessee.
Yep.
I think it's just a little easier climate than, say, Alabama. Number seven, Kentucky. I never even thought about Kentucky.
Love Kentucky. Would live there tomorrow. We have friends that moved there.
Really?
Yep.
Well, it makes sense. The median cost of a home is $135,000.
There you go.
There you go. The Medicare plan, when you get old, $56. So that's kind of high. Not horrible. But the average household income per year is about $43,000. So now that's the cheapest of the bunch so far, $43,000. All right, number six, Louisiana.
Look, I already know what they have in common. They're obviously all Sun Belt states. This is along the southern.
Correct. Correct. So the median cost of a home in Louisiana is about $157,000.
Yeah.
Medicare, about $41, a little on the cheap side. And the average household income is about $47,000, $48,000, really.
Hmm.
So there you go. Number five, I never thought of this, but my dad lived here for about a year. Indiana.
Yep.
Actually, I was.
Now, that's not a southern state, but okay.
No, it's not. So there you go. Now, your median cost of Indiana, the home, is $135,000.
Yeah. Well, have you been to Indiana?
No, my dad told me horror stories. We lived there. I don't remember it. I think we lived there a year.
Wow.
My dad told me horror. He hated it. Yeah. I'm going to use the word hate. Hated Indiana. Hated it. So $135,000. Medicare is about $48. Cost of living, $46,000.
There you go.
Number four. Who's better than that? West Virginia.
Nice.
Mountain mama, take me home.
Take me home. That is my wife's people. My wife is an original Hatfield.
No way.
Oh, yeah. I thought I told you that. Yeah, she's a Hatfield. Yeah, her mother's maiden name is actually Hatfield. So,
I happen to be McCoy. Isn't that weird?
Are you serious?
No.
You're totally lying right now.
I'm totally lying.
You're just hoping.
West Virginia is I've seen pictures.
Beautiful. Nothing like it.
Yeah. The median cost of a home there is $115,000.
There are reasons for that we're not going to go into here.
They're not counting the motorhomes that they, And there's our one bedroom.
Stop. Don't all make right, fun I'll of stop. People.
All right. That's bad. Now, Medicare, about $60.
Okay.
But your average cost of living there is about $44,800.
There you go.
So they're cheap, very cheap to live there. Yep. Number three, Oklahoma. I've got some friends in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma,
get your kicks on Route 66, baby. Yep. Right?
Yeah.
Now the median cost of a home there is about $130,000, and Medicare costs you about $48, and your cost of living there is about $46,000. Okay.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad.
A lot of tornadoes.
Out of tornadoes. Well, I'd go southern Oklahoma.
Zach Valadon, a friend of this show and a podcast of his own right, The Pen, The Sword is his podcast. Say that again. The Pen, The Sword. The Sword.
What's his name? Zach what?
Valadon. I call him the Mighty Spaniard. Valadon.
That seems like a total superhero name.
It does. Valadon.
I am Valadon up the north. Valadon.
That's awesome. he's a good dude. He was a former student of mine, and he works for Sage Publications. They were based in Newbury Park. They still are, but they have a huge operation in Oklahoma, and they sent him, and he loves it. He's happy there.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got friends who live out there. I came this close to buying an apartment complex there. That it was an $80,000, 21-person complex. Should have bought it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a long story. Anyway, yeah, average household, 46,000.
All right, we're coming up on time. Let's get to number.
Okay, number two, Arkansas. I've got family there.
Yep.
Remember, America's first national park, Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Hot Springs, Arkansas.
So the median cost of a house is about $123,000. Medicare plan, $44. And living there, you need about $44,000 a year.
Jeez, that's fantastic.
Last but not least, you want to guess? Since we're
on the Sun Belt, Florida.
No.
No.
Mississippi.
Oh, my gosh.
Mississippi, also known as the hospitality state.
I have a heart in Mississippi for a lot of reasons. I did some Katrina relief. Yeah, I did some Katrina relief there. I've spent some time there. One of my good friends, Gary Taylor. Hello, Gary. I hope you're listening to the show. Lives there. And Mississippi's a great place. It's hot.
All right. Well,
it is hot.
You do get that sweltering.
Yeah,
it's not a dry heat there.
No, sir.
But the median cost of a home is about $114,000.
Gee, that's incredible.
That's, I think, the cheapest out there. Close was West Virginia at $115,000. But Medicare is about $38,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Cost of living, average household, $46,000.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, all of these were all in the no more than under $60,000 to survive. I mean, all of those states. That's and the funny thing is, West Virginia does intrigue me, I have to be honest. Missouri, because I was born there, but
I could live in West Virginia. I could do that. I couldn't do Arkansas. I don't think I could do Mississippi, and I couldn't do the one you just said. What did you just say? You couldn't
Mississippi.
Do?
Mississippi. I said Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't do that. Arkansas, I couldn't do. No. And Missouri. I couldn't do Missouri.
So I was in northern Arkansas. Again, I rode my motorcycle through, and it was beautiful.
Yeah. It
but
is.
But then I don't know much about – I've got family. I think they're in Hot Springs, which is where the national park is, I think. And I got cousins who live out there, and
isn't that where President Clinton's from? Is he from?
I think so. Shazam!
By the way, where is this information coming from? We should probably cite our source.
Oh my God! It was a.
You're looking at it.
No, I cut and pasted.
was it Forbes?
I know it wasn't Forbes. I think it was it was a real estate site.
Okay.
God, I don't know. I just found it. I thought it was interesting.
All right. It is interesting.
All lies because they can't substantiate. It could be all just like southern states. Let's pay these guys money to say we're the best.
Well, and, you know, Indiana's in there. But, again, I lived in the Midwest. I was born and raised in Ohio, and Indiana's not far. I spent time, not – it's okay. It depends on what you want. And the cities aren't the greatest. So.
Well, and you know, the Midwest in general, like I said, I'm talking about Missouri, which I was born there. Mm-hmm. My wife is from Iowa and Minnesota.
Minnesota,
heck you mean. And let me tell you something, the summers, woo.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, what we're not used to, it's funny, we get bugs.
Yeah.
But Libby, I'm going to put my quotes here. We don't get bugs.
Right, yeah.
We went on a motorcycle ride in Wisconsin. I remember this was Rice Lake, Wisconsin. Beautiful country in the summer.
Yeah.
But I left with a clean bike, and I'm like an inch thick of just bugs on my fairing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Insane. So there you go.
Well, my James Lilex is one of my favorite writers. Lilex.com. L-I-L-E-K-S. Lilex.com. Great writer. Writes for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And I read something a long time ago that he'd said, and I guess it's a cliche in Minnesota. My wife and I were talking about driving across the country this summer, and that's something we're probably going to do. And if we end up in Minnesota, it's very buggy, James Lilex's response to that was, yeah, there's a lot of mosquitoes in the summer, but you can see them coming.
Oh, you really can too. And you know, it's weird, they come out in droves, like right around sunset.
Oh yeah,
but we did a fireworks display for my brother-in-law's house.
Yep.
And they're like, you know, so we're setting it up, they're like, dude, you got about an hour, we need to go in there and deet up. And you know, we get in there and, and I'm talking black clouds of these mosquitoes. I mean, it was insane.
Oh.
But they would stay away. The deep worked well, but you're in this weird bubble of, you know, DEET and mosquitoes. It was just insane. I was blown away by that, how many bugs there were. Well, until I saw the motorcycle I rode, and it was insane. We're not used to, we get some mosquitoes every now and then, kind of rare.
Not like that.
No, wait, that's, God, go back to California. California is not near as buggy as the Midwest.
No.
Not near.
Well, we've covered serious ground, and I think we've talked plenty about, you know, look, leaving California is not the worst decision you could make, my friend.
It's going to be hard. Like you said, I love it here, but it's insane to retire here. It just is.
You're going to come visit, and you're going to fall in love with it in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you will. Yeah.
Maybe. I think I'm leaning towards, just so you know, I think
Nevada.
Nevada. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, you come up to our place in the summer times.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. I like it. You know, I lived in, you know, Portland for a few months.
Sure, yeah, yeah. It's no longer there, Portland.
No, I know. Well, then there's those weird Chad. Is that Chad thing still in
Seattle? No, in Seattle, no, it's finally. Oh. Well, they started killing people. You know, I literally saw things on the internet, people posting, look how peaceful they are in the Chad. It's like, they don't own it. Whose buildings are those? What are you talking about? How peaceful they are. And then within like, what was it? 4 days, they murdered two people.
There you go.
I mean, yeah. Imagine that. And the first thing they did was put a border up with concertina wire and fencing and armed patrols.
Yeah, and armed
patrols. Thought you didn't want a wall.
Right. Right.
It was great.
Oh, what was that?
The microphone just fell out of it. And it's God's way of telling me that the show is over.
And I want to thank everybody for listening in to Considering Some Things. You've been listening to Mark Storer, and I am Keith Cox. And if you really dig what you're liking, you can catch us on all kinds of different places. We're on Amazon now.
Yep.
We're on TuneIn.
Yep, Spotify.
Spotify.
iTunes.
Oh, Stitcher.
Stitcher and Google Podcasts.
Stitcher, I don't even know her. Thank you all for listening.
Yep, just type in Considering Some Things. Thanks for being with us. Keith Cox, Mark Storer. Have a great night, people, and leave California.
Au revoir, my friend.